Good morning.
Good morning.
Great privilege to share the Word of God. If we open in our Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verses that Steve read out just a little earlier. I want to speak this morning about the race of faith and indeed running the race. I think as a nation, we're a pretty sporting nation, Australia. Per capita, I think only some of the Scandinavian nations outdo us in their sporting exploits, places like Finland and some of the other nations. But we're a very sporting nation, aren't we? And so this morning I want to talk about something a little deeper than our physical attributes and our physical giftings and the acclamation that sports idols receive in this land. But I want to speak about something that the Bible considers to be the most important condition, and that's our spiritual condition. Our spiritual condition. And I want to talk about running the race. In our text this morning, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27, the Bible says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." What did Paul mean by that? Well, let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit's help as we delve into this passage this morning. Father, I thank you for the people that you've brought today. It's by your appointment. It is by no mistake that you've brought us together. And it is by no mistake that you give us this text this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible, the truth. We thank you, Lord, that you, Lord Jesus, are truth. You are the Word that came down to this earth. And I pray we might see you in this word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would open eyes, open blind eyes, that you would open hard hearts, that you would, Lord, fire up hearts, Lord, that are waxing cold. I pray, Lord Jesus, we would leave this place different to how we walked in. We pray, Lord Jesus, as we run this race of faith, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on the things which are most important. Oh God, I pray above all else now that your Holy Spirit would work in this meeting and Lord, take over and take charge and speak a word to each individual wherever they are at, Lord God, wherever they are at in this spiritual journey of life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the most important race, friends, is our race of faith, the race of faith. Many people in this world are striving and striving hard. Just look at those Rabbitohs last night. How hard did they strive? And indeed, they got those points, didn't they? How hard they were going at it. And we have a sporting culture in this nation. There's no doubt about it. But would be to God that we would have more of a spiritual culture in this land. More of a culture that desires the Lord God. There's nothing wrong with watching a game time to time. But friends, where is our heart? Where is our desire for God? Paul had a desire. He had a spiritual burning within his heart. He had such a fire, such a propensity to God. And he was running, he was striving, because what happened in his life is he found the most important thing that can ever be found in anyone's life. He found life itself. He found truth. He found the gospel. He met with Jesus. He met with Jesus. Friend, when you meet with Jesus, when you truly meet with Jesus face to face, all of your life's goals and ambitions get reversed. They get turned upside down. So here Paul, thinking he was doing the right thing, he was learning, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In fact, his zeal propelled him to kill Christians because he thought he was doing God's work. Look at his life and he finds this truth. He finds this pearl of great price. And then he begins to run on life's spiritual journey on the right track. So many people are running today and they're running on the wrong track. Can you imagine turning up to a meet, turning up to the Olympics, turning up to a school sporting event and running on the wrong track? Putting all your effort and endurance and power and training and you're running on the wrong track. That's so many lives this morning in our nation. So many countless lives who are running on the wrong track. There are two ways the Bible talks, one leading to eternal life, one into everlasting darkness and separation from God. And so many have found that wide road, that wide gate, and they're putting all their energy into that race, into that life. Can I ask you this morning, are you running a wealth creation race? Are you running a wealth creation race? Is that your goal? Can I ask you, are you running a good works race? Paul, he dealt with very zealous, very religious people. Are you running on a track that's not going to get you to the end game? Or are you slumbering? Are you not running at all? Are you just floating like driftwood down a creek, just taking life as it comes, not pursuing anything very much at all? Friends, Paul had something that he found, and when he had found it, he grasped this with both hands. And so this morning, I want to consider four things. I want to discuss four things that will help us run well in this spiritual journey, this spiritual race. Four considerations for running well. And the first consideration is in verse 24 of our text. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run in such a way. Friends, the first thing you need to run well is you need desire. You need desire. Friends, I've never seen anyone win a gold medal that didn't have an intense, overwhelming desire to win the prize. Now, not all of us are in as great a shape as we used to be in. And we're not talking about a physical running here. But friends, whatever physical shape we might be in, this is a spiritual race, the most important race, the one that will profit us to eternity is a race of faith. You must desire the prize. Friends, the world, the flesh and the devil are pulling in one direction. And the Bible says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh. The list of pursuits, the list of life goals can be great and can be endless. But friends, where is our desire for God? This is the most important desire to have. The desire, the burning desire to know Christ and to make Him known. And this will form a life of obedience and faith in us. The Holy Spirit will inflame this godly desire. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 37:4? Delight yourselves also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What are our desires this morning? Are our desires of a spiritual nature? Are our desires to know Christ and to make Him known? Paul had this overwhelming desire. The Holy Spirit in Paul gave him this overwhelming desire. Friends, are we seeking God? In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." This isn't about just adding God into our lives. It's about having God as the absolute center and core of our lives. And when we do that, everything else falls into place. It's about desiring Him with the whole heart, with the whole soul, with all of our might. Whom have I in heaven but You? The psalmist said in Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but You? He saw the wicked. He saw them desiring after so many things. And when he came back around, when he repented, one who knew God repented and he turned himself around and came into the sanctuary of God, he said, I've been missing out. Who have I in heaven but you? There is none upon earth that I desire besides you. You see, the Holy Spirit in us desires the things that are of God. The Holy Spirit is of God, desiring those things that are of God. But we water it down. The flesh waters it down. The world presses against it, and the devil is the father of all liars. But friends, the Holy Spirit will bring us back. God will bring us back to a desire. Seek the Lord and His strength, 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek His face evermore. Seek His face evermore. Now some begin the race with much enthusiasm. The Lord Jesus, doesn't He speak of certain soils? And He spoke of a soil that was shallow. He spoke of a soil that grew up among thorns. Friends, there is so much in this world that wants to quench your desire for Christ. But praise be to God, if you are truly God's, the Holy Spirit will pour oil on the fire. Just like in that book, you know, The Pilgrim's Progress, where there Satan is trying to quench that wall of fire, but Jesus is behind the wall and He's pouring oil, that's the oil of His Spirit, on the fire. The work that He began in you, He will bring it to completion. So praise God, God will be the victor. But we need to do our part. We need desire. We need to desire to run this race of faith. And it's more than enthusiasm. It's more than enthusiasm. Spurgeon said, I would rather a grain of faith than a mountain of enthusiasm. I would rather see in your life a grain of faith than a mountain of enthusiasm, which is empty, which is puffed up, which fades away. No, friends, this desire that God gives you, it brings forth fruit to eternal life. Friends, can I encourage you, keep your desire for God fresh. Keep your desire for God honest and pure. Keep it childlike. If there is something getting in the way of your passion for Christ, if there is something, a roadblock, remove it. Cut it off. Take it away. Put God first. Put Him in the rightful place of your life. In Revelations 2 and 3, in the letter to the churches, the word to the churches, there was that church that had left their first love. They left that desire, the desire for Christ. Friends, we must know Him and ever grow in that knowledge of God. Don't let Satan quench the love you have for your Savior. Know your Bible. Know it. Know God. Know Him in an intimate, in a real way. Don't just know facts about Him, but know Him in a personal way. You can know about God, but do you know God? You can know all about Him. You can know that He came. You can know that He sent His Son to die on a cross. You can know that He was risen again. You can know that He ascended into heaven. You can know this in a factual way. But have you met Him on the way, like Paul met Him? Paul met Him and his life was changed forever. We need a meeting with God and we need a passion for Christ. Know your Bible. Be in prayer. Walk in prayer. Walk in prayer. Don't just have a prayer time, but walk in prayer, because it's talking to God. It's talking in communion. It's the fellowship that was broken in the garden that is now restored in Christ. Be free. Have the liberty of prayer, the liberty of walking with Him. Day in, day out. And then tell others about what wonderful things Jesus has done for you. Friends, to run well, you must have desire. Also, secondly, we see in verse 25 that we must be dedicated. So that an athlete needs desire. He wants to win a prize, right? He wants to win a medal. So he has desire in his heart, but he also has to be dedicated. So those things I've touched on already, knowing God, being in prayer, being obedient. The words in this text in verse 25, it talks about being temperate in all things. Also in verse 26, it talks about not running with uncertainty in verse 27 about disciplining the body to bring it into subjection. So these words for an athlete, they mean, you know, dedication. You know, if we've found the thing that is absolutely the most important thing in life, shouldn't we be absolutely dedicated about it? Shouldn't this consume our lives? And seek God. He will give you, you may not be the missionary that goes to the field. You may not be the pastor that preaches from the front. But you may be someone in the home that rears your children for Christ. Or you may be someone who tells your neighbor about Christ. And whatever you do, do it faithfully to the Lord. Do it faithfully to the Lord. But be dedicated in your, firstly, your desire and then in your actions. Be dedicated in your actions. No athlete who has great desire stops training. He stays dedicated. He stays dedicated. Friends, we must count the cost of following Christ. It's a life of dedication. But friends, it's the most rewarding life ever. It's the most rewarding life possible. There is force, like I said, that goes against the grain. We have natural fleshly desires that we have to overcome. We oppose Satan. In Christ we oppose Satan, who's the father of all lies. And we go against the system of this world. Friends, do you know there's a system? There's a spiritual belief in this world. And it's real. But we go against it. It's a self-sufficient system. It's an atheistic system. But we oppose it. We must be dedicated. Do what God has given you. Work with the talents God has given you. Whether He's given you one or two or five. Whatever God has given you, be dedicated with it. Use it for God and God will do the rest. God will bless it. But we must count the cost. In Luke 14 and 26, our Lord Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his father and mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, doesn't sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, doesn't sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation, he asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." The intensity of dedication, the intensity of love towards Christ here is displayed in a saying that he who does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, compared to the love that you must have for God, isn't worthy of me. He cannot be my disciple. Friends, I tell you, if you pursue God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, if you are dedicated to God, if you love him with the whole heart, you will love your children more than you've ever loved them before. You will love your neighbor more than you've ever loved him before. You will love your parents and your enemies and whoever you come into contact with more than you've ever loved them before. You will care about people more than you've ever cared about them before. This is not giving us license to hate our parents or wife or child. No, friend. This is saying that you must be dedicated. You must be a follower of Christ who has counted the cost of following Jesus, who has a desire and then puts that desire into practice through true dedication to Christ, through love for Him, through love for your family, love for your fellow man, and service in His body, service in the church. The Christian life is giving up yourself. It's giving over your life and placing your trust in another. But it's also about finding a pearl of great price. Finding all that is of value. As Jesus said, the parable of the pearl of great price in Matthew 13:45. It's like that merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought it. It's about being sold out for Christ. There's a good way that the world might understand it. If you're sold out for something, you're dedicated. You're dedicated. Friends, it's the most expensive free gift ever. It takes your life. But it's the very life God gave to us. So friends, to run well, we need desire. We need to be dedicated. Our motivation, our desire is for an imperishable crown reserved in heaven for us. Don't be cold. Don't be hot. Always be aflame for the Lord Jesus. Trials will come. Difficulties will come. But blessed is the man who endures temptation, James 1:12 says. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And the motivation is love. For he loved us first. The motivation, the desire comes from the love. And it's only possible day and day by the life in the Spirit. Trials will come. Temptations will come. Daily in this race. But God is working through them. He's allowing things in our life. He's working through them to change us day by day. Friends, let us be dedicated to the Lord. So with desire to run well and with dedication, we run with faith. We need faith. Verse 26. Paul likens this to not running with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not beating the air. Now, I don't think boxing is a great sport, but certainly the boxer has a mark. He's aiming for the other guy's chin. He has a mark. He's aiming for something. And Paul says, I'm not flailing my arms. I'm not air swinging. I have an object of faith. I have desire. I'm dedicated because I have an object. It's true. It's real. Friends, those folks in this world, in Christendom, in church life, wherever, people who have a shallow belief, people who don't truly believe in the resurrection, or have a shallow belief, people who have a shallow belief in the heavenly, a shallow belief in the imperishable crown, they will run and they will fight differently to those who truly believe in the resurrection, who truly believe in heaven, who truly believe there is a hell. There's going to be two groups. They're going to run differently. They're going to fight differently. It's of so much importance, friends. When Christian, in the allegory, in the book, Pilgrim's Progress, when he walks in the foothills, he walks among the shepherds and he looks through a looking glass. They hand him a looking glass and he sees afar off a heavenly city. What an amazing sight. He believes in that which is imperishable, which is reserved in heaven for him. And from that moment, his spiritual journey goes up a notch. It goes up a notch. And so later he meets this man called Atheist along the way. And Atheist has been looking for heaven for years. And he tries to discourage Christian. And Christian says, no, no, I've seen it with my own eyes. Nothing you say is going to change it. Friends, this world is throwing, it's hurling science. It's hurling its intelligence, its worldly wisdom at us, at the church. It's all packaged up. But this, friends, this looking glass of faith is what's going to keep you on this journey. This looking glass of truth is what's going to keep your eyes on the prize. We need faith. We need faith, not a shallow belief. To run well, we need faith, for we have, friends, an object of our faith. In Philippians 3, in our Bibles, and verse 12, we read of this pressing toward the goal. This pressing. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Friends, let us be encouraged by these words. Let us be encouraged. Let us look ahead. The runner, as Pastor shared in a message some weeks ago, some months perhaps ago, the runner that briefly glances back to what his life was like. That's how we glance back. To what our life was like, but we look forward. We look ahead. When we drive, we glance back in the rear vision mirror, but we keep our eyes ahead. In fact, if your eyes are focused on objects on the side of the road, you'll be drawn to them. And that's a scientific fact. If you got your eyes on something on the side of the road, you'll be drawn to those things. Keep your eyes ahead and your path will be straight. Friends, that's encouraging because our lives, if we look back, have been very messy at times, haven't they? They've been a mess. We've grazed our knees. We've been entangled in sin, the sin that so easily ensnares us. But praise be to God. We don't look back. We don't need to dwell there. We don't need to live in the past. We live for this morning and for today. This morning is a fresh start. This table of remembrance, which we're going to share in a short while, is a fresh start. And we don't need to wait fortnightly or monthly for the table of the Lord. Every moment, every day, in God's grace, a fresh start. Friends, we have an object of our faith. We don't run with uncertainty. We don't beat the air. We look with eyes of faith. And friends, when you have found it, the pearl of great price, there is no other substitute needed to fill the spiritual vacuum in your life. There's no substitute needed. There is nothing else. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And my final point this morning, so with that desire, with that commitment, with faith, with eyes of faith, to run well, we need to run with endurance. We need to run this life out. People say life is a marathon. People are living longer. Articles are being published. The cities and towns in Japan where the amount of centenarians is staggering. So they're saying life is a marathon. You've got 40 years of retirement now, not 25. You've got more time to do the things you really want to do. Friends, empty, shallow thinking. The Christian life, the run of endurance is the most important. The race of faith, the race. Friends, if I were to tell you your life is a speck on the wall of that wall, a grain of that mortar that I can't even see, that you cannot see from here. A speck of the grain of that mortar in that brick wall surrounding us. That's your life, the 80, 90 years. Whatever it may be. It is a speck on the wall. And this world is intent on filling our minds and hearts with life and living just for yourself and for today. No, the race of faith is a race of endurance. And in Hebrews 12 and verses 1 through 3, after this amazing list of heroes of the faith, The writer of Hebrews says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I just want to pause there and just, I'd encourage you to read the latest De La Fuente letter. I just read it last night while I was finishing off this sermon. But he spoke about the 4x400 meter race Daniel did in that letter, and how he likes running, he likes watching the races, and he particularly likes the 4x400 event. And he's passing on the baton now, and he's coming back to Australia. What an encouraging life. What an encouraging testimony. Friends, we have a race, a spiritual race. Whatever God has called you to do, whatever, just seek God and do the next thing. Oswald Chambers said, in the busyness of his life, people were to-ing and fro-ing. He was dedicated, he knew what to do. And so many were coming to him in the Christian college. What has God called you to do? What is the Lord calling me to be? No, just trust God and do the next thing. That's what he told them, the young students. Trust God and do the next thing. Grow where you are planted. Flourish where God has set you to be. Don't waste your time endlessly seeking out what might be 20 years ahead, but do the next thing. Run with endurance. I know that when you run, you've got to take a step at a time. Now, it doesn't look like it, but I used to run the cross country. And I used to run it at zone level and at regional level. And state, I think, perhaps one year. But there was this heartbreak hill we used to run up in zone cross country. And it was 30 odd degrees. And it was like this. Heartbreak hill. And you could literally, you'd almost be running on the spot. It was like running up an escalator turned on full blast the other way. And someone gave me a tip once. Just count your steps. Run one at a time. Just count your steps. Count your steps. Just the next step. If you look to the top of that hill, man, you can get discouraged. And sometimes life is like that. Life throws curveballs. Maybe that's an American saying. Life throws things at us. Day by day. And sometimes they come in storms. Sometimes when it rains, it begins to pour. But friends, just take a step at a time. Run with endurance. The spiritual race is the most important race that any human can run. So count the steps. Looking to the prize. Look who we look to. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's the object. Here's where we're wrapping up. Here's what Paul, here's what the whole of the gospel, the word of God is pointing to. It's Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He started this thing and he's going to finish it well. And he started a work in you and he's going to bring it to completion. That's an amazing truth. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. And most commentators agree that that was you and I. Lives that would be saved. Lives. Eternal lives. The joy that was set before him. He didn't go to the cross for himself. He went to the cross for you and for me. Looking at that, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, this is all pointing to Christ. Jesus is the object of our faith. Jesus is the one that has started a good work in you. Jesus was there at the beginning who said, it is not good for us to be alone. Let us make him in our own image. And he is the one at the end who will judge the nations. It is Jesus. It is the one whose name is blasphemed every day in our nation. Whilst people watch football games and curse when their team loses. It's his name that's blasphemed. It's his name. It's him whose vesture is dipped in blood, who's coming back again to judge the earth in righteousness. Friends, God has given you a race. My race is different to your race, and it's different to Paul's race. But we can take application right through this. What has God called you to do? Trust Him and do the next thing. Paul got to Jerusalem, and his end game was that he died for Christ. Didn't he say, I desire to be with God now, with Christ now, but it's better for me to remain to help you all. Wasn't his great desire to be in heaven, not to have a retirement plan, as good as that might be? Friends, it's the point of the matter. It's the desire, it's the heart of the matter. It's good to plan for retirement. It's good to have free time. It's good to watch a game. Friends, where is our heart? Where is our propensity? Where is our intensity? Does it lie in the things of God or in the things of the flesh? Does it lie in the things of God or in the things that pass away? Labor not for that which perishes. Do not put your heart into things that will perish. Seek Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All other things will be added to you. God will provide for you. God will look after you. Paul finished his work upon the earth. He finished his race. You and I, friends, in closing, we have a race that we are running. What is God's end game for you and for me? Friends, run well. Do well and run well in whatever God has called you to do. Know that it's the grace of God which alone has saved you, and it's the grace of God which alone will keep you. This is all of grace. This is not about some personal, you know, Paul could have boasted. There's no boasting in this. You know, you talk to the diggers and they say there was nothing glamorous about it. You read the testimonies of the diggers in the trenches. They said there was nothing glamorous about it. There's no boasting. And when they got their medals later, there was no boasting about this. Friends, we shouldn't have a warped idea about what this race entails. The world puffs up. The world enthuses. But friends, let us have desire. Let us put that desire into practice. Let us fix our eyes on the goal and let us run well. Let us run well, friends. Let's move toward a closing song, song 280. And it's Amazing Love. The three verses, so before the Lord's table, we'll sing verses 1 and 2, and then later we'll repeat 2, we'll sing verse 2 and 3. But the chorus says, Amazing Love, oh what sacrifice, the Son of God given for me. My debt He pays, and my death He dies, that I might live, that I might live. He requires our lives, friends. He requires one thing. It's the hardest thing to give up, isn't it? All of us. Nothing short of it. He doesn't want part of us. He wants us all. And when we have Him, and when He has us, it is the most wonderful of relationships. My Lord, what love is this? Thanks, Peter.